us to be who are here. We thank you, Lord God, for our fathers who have gone home to be with you. We're now in heaven with you, Lord God. We thank you for their love and for their kindness and for their care. And we pray again for fathers, some who have not lived up to the expectations that of the word of God, or been able through many trials and situations, not been able to do all they ought to do. We pray for them that you will strengthen them and keep them, and you will show them the way, Lord God. And so we thank God for all of those who have been fathers, those who are going to be fathers, God, this day, and those who have gone home to be with you. Lord God, bless us now this day as you speak a word for us, a word of hope, a word of peace, a word of love, a word that sustains. We give you thanks, and take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And I know we do have a book, a little booklet out that all the fathers are getting. Are they giving them out? Okay, good. I knew I saw them in the office. Just remember. Now, I want to begin with a sermon, with a reflection for you. And it's titled, 35% of the Universe Still a Mystery. Because in this text today, and those few words of Jesus, he said something at the beginning. He said it, and simply it's on the front of your bulletin. There's always a reason for the cover. It says, I have many more things to say to you. And then he goes on, he says, but you couldn't take it all in now. I have many more things to say to you. And then my sermon title is, however, by faith we trust God. We're trusting God not because we know everything, not because we're ever going to know everything. I'm just letting you all know now, you're not going to know everything. Faith is a unique thing. And so this article that says 95% of the universe still a mystery, the writer says, today astronomers have come down on the side of believing that galaxies and galaxy clusters are pregnant with some sort of exotic material that is invisible to us. They are calling it dark matter. They haven't yet identified what it is exactly, or even established that it truly exists. But it is not for lack of trying. Despite decades of using every imaginable means of detection, from gamma ray telescopes in outer space to cryogenic subatom particle monitors buried deep inside another Minnesota mine, their occasional tantalizing reports of success remain as unreliable as Evelyn's sightings. And dark matter isn't even the most astonishing thing modern astrophysicists have discovered about gravity. Astrophysicists have discovered another mystifying reality, and they call it dark energy. All told, astronomers have concluded that dark energy comprises some 68% of the total universe, and dark matter about 27%. That means only 5% of the entire universe is visible to us. Amazing, isn't it? In other words, everything we call scientific knowledge is based on but a pittance of what there is to know about our world. 95% of it is hidden from us. Even when all our advances, even with all our advances, our science is 95% in the dark about the universe it seeks and claims to understand, about what is real or not real, what is possible or not, even about a prosaic force that exists literally right under our noses. So friends, you and I'll speak for myself, are not a brilliant scientist. I always say I've got me just a little tiny pea brain that works. Thanks be to God for that. We will never understand this universe, no matter what, how hard we try. Stephen Hawking tried, and I know that he has asked God some question now. I would hope. Maybe he'll tell us, he'll televise it or bring it back to us so we could learn something. C.S. Lewis once said that the most frequently spoken word in heaven would be oh, as in oh, now I understand, or oh, now I see what God's plan was. And he continues, or oh, now I see the reason for that trial I went through. We do not have the luxury in this world to understand all of this. We walk by faith, not knowledge. But one day it will be revealed to us. We will be in the presence of the Father and the Son and the Spirit of the triune team. Praise God. We will be in their presence. And how can we be in the presence of all three at the same time? It beats me, says the writer. But as Paul says in another place, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to guard until the day that has been entrusted to me. I know whom I believe. Do I understand everything? No. Do you understand? No. Do the scientists understand? No. But we have to know whom we believe. In understanding the Trinity, John Wesley once says, show me a worm that can comprehend a human being, and then I will show you a human being that can comprehend the triune God. We're in good company. Some of the great fathers of the church have never been able to comprehend the Trinity. Luther's comment was even more to the point. To try to comprehend the Trinity endangers your sanity. So let's not try to comprehend it, because we may go crazy trying to comprehend it. He says, I tend to agree with Gusto Gonzalez, who once said, Trinity is a mystery, not a puzzle. You try to solve the puzzle, and you stand in awe before a mystery. Try to understand the puzzle, and then we stand in awe before a mystery. And so today my sermon title is, however, by faith, we trust God. We may not understand all that stuff I just read before, giving you some scientific argument and why or why not and why they have found that. Still yet, we by faith have decided to trust God. We could spend the rest of our life that God gives us trying to figure it out. That's what faith is. Faith is that thing that you cannot explain. And faith is that thing that you certainly have to let go and let God. If you really want to feel God and the presence of God in your life, you have to be willing to relinquish all some of the things you believe and all the things you read and just let God. And so, what is however? However is another word like nevertheless. It says, all of this have gone before. All of this is what I've read. All this is what my brain have told me. I cannot figure it out. However, by faith, I trust God. However. Amen. So we thank God for that. And the Proverbs, the writer of Proverbs, explains a little bit to us. Wisdom called. The literature of wisdom, it's saying, you should be what? Be wise. They says the beginning of wisdom, right? The beginning of wisdom is understanding God. When you understand God, you're beginning to have wisdom. And we can't. Does wisdom call? And does understanding raise your voice? The writer of Proverbs is trying to tell us that God created the universe long before we were here, and long before all those scientists and everybody before that was here. Now, folks will choose not to believe it, and they will try to prove the Big Bang Theory, but we as Christians, we have a text called the Scriptures and the Bible that tells us otherwise. We choose either to believe it or to believe it. The writer says, the Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. The writer is reminding us that, listen, things have happened long before us. And then here in the text, it says, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters may not transgress his command. And this is the triune relationship, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit talking together. From the beginning, they did that. I was at a conference last week, and I said to a young lady who was came to, we had a table, and she came to the table and we were having a nice debate. She was a young person, I could see that. And we were talking about scriptures and a little bit and why some of us believe, and they have all these questions. I says, you know, my dear, 1,000 years from now, I says, everybody in that arena, including me, I was looking at the arena, maybe over 400 of us there. I says, we're going to die, that's for sure. We're going to leave this earth. We will die. But what I'm sure of is that God's word is going to stand forever. And I says, if we were to come back, if God was to allow us to see from heaven 1,000 years from now, I would bank my life on it that this same word that we are arguing about and debating in some instances is still going to be here. I could just see it. I got an inside word from the Lord. It will still be here. It stands. We make a choice to believe it or not. And so Jesus, as he's getting ready to leave, we're in John 16. He's getting ready to leave, and he's telling them what words in a simple, small text. He says, there are things that are essential to our faith, but I can't speak about them because you would not be able to understand. That he cannot speak about it. He cannot speak about it to us because we would not be able to understand it. I know I teach young people, and I see their faces looking perplexed at times. I am just as perplexed at some of the things in the Bible. There are times I read and I'm a little bit perplexed. I says, oh God, this happened and why? But as I've said before to you, there is not a book in the Bible that is called Your Opinion or Your Agreement. It is by faith that I believe. When I read something that I don't understand, I pray to the Lord and I trust him by faith. And that is what Jesus is telling them. He says, they're far too complicated and way over your heads. That's what he's telling the disciple. They're far too complicated. You'll never get it. Of course, the reality is that there are many dimensions of our life in God that we don't understand. And we may not understand until we are seated at his heavenly banquet. We may never understand it until we get to heaven. Some folks say they are keeping a track of the long list of questions that they want answered. Anybody here keeping a track of the long list of questions that when they get to heaven, you're going to ask the Lord? I'm not keeping a track of the list because my list would be so long, it would be bigger than the Bible. Likewise, I suspect that some of you have a list. Likewise, I feel confident that there'll be a long line of people in heaven wanting to ask questions. Now, here's the good news. God is going to choose to answer them or not answer them. Moses certainly wanted to know, because Moses said, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Remember Moses, his great prophet, and what did God say? Who is this God who has called us? And what did God say? Tell them, I am that I am. Now people are trying to figure out what I am that I am means. I'm not trying to figure that out. I've got bigger things to figure out. I'm trying to pray over finding a cure for cancer. I am not trying to figure out with my prayers, oh Lord, you tell me what I am, the I am. No, I'm on my knees trying to figure out. When I went to visit Susan's husband, and I'll share this, I did not know that Barry, I knew that Barry had a triple bypass, because I was told that he had that and along other complications that he did. He did tell Susan that I'm trying to convert him, but I was not. He's Jewish. I really was not trying to convert him, but I do pray in the name of Jesus. It is natural I pray in the name of Jesus for everybody. So when I went to the hospital, I really was expecting to see Barry lying in the bed with all lots of tubes and the machines running, because it was just on Thursday I went into Susan, or Wednesday. So I expected to see, you know, you go to the hospital a lot. You expected to see lots of the tubes and the things showing the heart rate and the heartbeat. Although he did have a little box here, he told me. And I made him laugh. I can't say it here. Must have told Susan. But he was sitting up in the chair. And of course you could see where his chest was open. And then he turned to me and he said it was 5 bypasses he had instead of 3. And I says, my God in heaven, and you're sitting up and you're talking. That's the God I serve. Who would bring a man out of that situation just like that with doctors and medicine, of course. I'm not naive. It was amazing, and he was on the phone. And he was not getting an IV or anything. 2 days after his operation, 3 days. That's the God that I believe in. Right? Why is it that we pray for somebody and they don't get, and they get healed a different way? They're taken home to the Lord. Then we pray for someone else and they get healed. I don't understand that. I want everybody we pray for to get healed, be healed. I don't get that, but I trust God. And when he does something like he did for Barry, I give him all the honor and glory and all the praise. Because there are many more people that get healed than die. If we were to know it all, right, we couldn't contain it. Could not contain it. And so then, of course, I prayed for Barry. And I never remember. At times when I'm getting started praying, I do say, if I'm praying for someone who's of another faith, I'll say in my brain, you know, okay, they don't believe in Jesus, you should say the name of the Lord, you know. But it not, the Holy Spirit takes over. So when I finished praying for Barry in the name of Jesus, he said to me, which made me smile, he says, you think a little Jewish, the Lord would listen to a little Jewish boy? I says, yes, because Jesus was a Jewish boy, and he loves all Jewish boy and all Christian boy and girl. And he began to smile. Because this is the God we serve, the God who will heal anyone. That is the mystery of faith, to believe. So Jesus is telling his disciples here, he says, believe. So what are your questions? What are your questions? I have to ask myself, what are my questions? Well, friends, I say this to you, that many of them will go unanswered. Our questions, some of them will go unanswered, and some of them will be answered. But by faith, we must believe God. Amen. Right? The doctrine of the Trinity, all of the great theologians and scholars of the church have never been fully able to understand it. Just like they cannot fully understand and explain the universe. But yet still we believe that God, there is a God. that there's a God who steps into our situation. There's a God who will call on. And guess what? When we debate God and try to negate God, and then when something happens, we says, oh, can you pray to God for me? God is not a vending machine. God is not where you go to, and when you need a little bit of God, you put a quarter in and you something, a little bit of prayer pops out. A prayer for my kid pops out. The next time we need it, no. God is in the business of what? Building relationship with us is creation. Jesus reminds them. He's telling them, therefore, don't be concerned about all that you need to know. The Holy Spirit that lives in you will reveal it to you in time. If many of us look back at our lives now, friends in this church, things that we did not know when we were 20, some of it we may know now because it's been revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. And remember, the Holy Spirit is not an it. If the Holy Spirit is an it, then Jesus is an it. The doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, three persons in one. I had an adult said to me the other day, I thought the Holy Spirit, that what is the Holy Spirit, that thing, that it. I said, no, it isn't. It's the Spirit of God that lives in us. The manifestation of God that has become our inner person. Our religion as Christians, yes, is different. No other religion speaks of a Holy Spirit living in you. But Jesus would love us so much that when he was leaving, he says, I will not leave you orphans. I may be gone from here physically, but I'm going to be with you in spirit.
Amen.
And that spirit will live in you. And he reminds us in Romans, right? Paul reminds us that when we cannot even pray, when we can groan, only groan because we're going through difficult times, that our very prayers will be interpreted by the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. When we cannot speak, the Spirit of God will speak for us. That is the triune relationship. So today on this Trinity Sunday, we understand it is not about science for us. It is not about astronomy for us or astrology. If you want to believe that, then go ahead. Please, how is it working for you? If it's working out for you, thanks be to God. But I'd like to encourage you to let go and let God. If you have not have a close relationship with God, you can. But you have to be able to surrender yourself. One of our colleagues who's retiring after 40 some years in ministry, he said last week, I do not sing I surrender anymore in my church because people don't, they really don't, they're not surrendering. I said to him, are you surrendering? Because it's for all of us. I surrender all.
Amen.
When we sing that song, unto thee, my precious Savior, I surrender all. Do we really mean it? Are we surrendering our mind, our will, and our way to God to understand that it's okay? It's okay to surrender. So here, let me tell you what I believe, why I trust God, and it's simple. Many of you who have been confirmed know it. I believe, and it's really when the early fathers and mothers put this together, they put it in summary, the scripture in summary for us Christian believers. And it says, I believe in God the Father Almighty. I believe. Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of a Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, I believe. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. It is the scriptures, you see, friends. They didn't make this up out of the air. And on the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal, Church, or Catholic and lowercase church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. I believe. Don't ever be confused about me. Anybody ask you, you let them know, your pastor, that's what she believes. You can believe otherwise. I believe. The songwriter says there are some things I may not know, and there are some places I cannot go. But I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Oh yes, God is real. He's real in my soul. Yes, God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me and you is like pure gold. I believe, for I can feel him in my soul. Can you feel him this morning in your soul?
Amen.
Do you believe? And another song we have says, I will trust in the Lord. Will you trust in the Lord this morning?
Amen.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord until I die.
Amen.
I will trust my sisters and brothers. I will trust in the Lord until I die. For I know in whom I believe. Do you know in whom you believe? Do you know, friends? This morning, that's for you and it's for me. And if you've been coming to church for a long time and you still don't believe, you need to get down on your knees and surrender. I would encourage you to surrender your spirit, your soul, and your heart to the Lord. Surrender. Surrender your mind to the Lord. Because I am telling you, he's faithful and just. He will not look at the times you didn't believe. He will welcome you into his arms. He will welcome you and says, welcome. Come on home. I've been waiting for you. This is the Lord that we believe in this day. On this Triune Sunday, Trinity Sunday, where we rejoice in knowing that there has been a coming together of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We stand proudly as Christian believers. And Christian believers, as I take my seat, I encourage you, do not waver in times like these. Because we're living in a country where our religion as Christians is no longer the only religion. We had better be convinced. As Paul says, for I am convinced this morning that nothing will separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Not sickness, not poverty, not death, not pain, not my church, not my bishop. No one will separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And nothing should separate you.
Amen.
And we had better be bold in this country to stand up for Jesus like all the other folks are standing up for their faith. We'd better be bold to stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. He must not suffer loss. From victory on to victory, we must stand up for Jesus this morning. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.